Hi there, everyone. This is Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom. And Akashic Wisdom talks about the Akashic Records. And we talk about your life, and we take your questions. And the Akashic Records are the energetic recording of your soul's journey over every lifetime. But it's not so much about past lives as it is about this life. And so every thought, word, and deed are registered in the Akashic Records. So it's beyond time. It's beyond this galaxy. It's beyond the universe, if you will. There are billions of galaxies. There are hundreds of millions and billions of star systems. The universe is so vast that if you were to look at the sand on the beach and consider each grain of sand, another star, another planet, that's how much is in the universe. That's how vast it is. So if you were to take all the beaches in all the world and each grain of sand represents a planet, like I said, or a star, that kind of gives you the idea of the amount of space, the amount of stuff, the amount of consciousness, and the vast amount of territory the true universe has. We as humans can't, it's hard for us to wrap our minds around the possibility or the incredible numbers of which we are a small little marble, a grain of sand on the beach. But nonetheless, as small as Earth is in size, the impact of what we do here energetically is very important, because our energetic connections are very important to our other world sisters and brothers. And we are so connected energetically, that truly what we do here affects the universe. The same way what other universes do affects us. So, how do you like that for a start? Okay, well, we're going to have call-in questions today. You can call in and ask your question here at bbsradio.com at 530-413-4511. We're live on the air today. Or 530-413-4515 or 530-413-4520. Or for those people in the San Francisco area, it's 415-287-0074. So we're taking your questions. You can also email your questions to info@akashicwisdom.com. And again, that's Akashic Wisdom, just like the program, just what you're listening to. Okay, so we have a question to start out with. And our dear friend Lucita always comes up with wonderful questions for us. You see, when we access the Akashic Records, what I need is your current legal name and your question, because your question gets us to the right area of the records. And the reason that's true is because you have to look at the Akashic Records like a huge search engine, like God's great search engine. And so the more specific the question, the more specific the query, the better the answer. The same way as when you're working with a search engine. If you're the more general you are, the more junk you're going to get, or it's not going to be on point. Whereas if you're very specific about what you want, you can find it in an instant. And so that's what we're working with. And you see, the way I access the Akashic Records is through a specific sacred prayer. And that prayer has been translated from Mayan to Spanish to English, and it shifts the energy to make the information accessible. So if you have questions about what are the Akashic Records, or how do I use the Akashic Records, or where did this prayer come from, or how long have you been doing this, Donna? I've been doing it for 14 years, but how did you get into it? If you have any questions at all about the Akashic Records, about me, about what I do, about what you can do if you learn how to access your own personal Akashic Records, which is something that I teach. If you have any questions at all, you need to call in and ask those questions. Or if you just have a personal question about your life, or if you have a global question around about the planet, or if you have an intergalactic question about space and the different galaxies and star systems. So there's nothing out of bounds when it comes to the Akashic Records. What I will tell you is the Akashic Records masters, teachers, and loved ones will rarely tell you what to do. However, they'll give you all the information you need in order to make the appropriate decisions. The other thing is that futures are very interesting. You see, you have so many probabilities and possibilities that when you ask a future question, you're going to get it's a different kind of an answer for future questions. So, but it doesn't make any difference. Ask whatever question you want, and the masters, teachers, and loved ones will give you insight on that question, and we'll go from there. How's that? Okay, so the question that Lucita has emailed is that what she said she's been doing based on our work, on the Akashic Records work, that she's been working with the Akashic Records masters, teachers, and loved ones, and they're making her aware of old strings from the past that have a hold on her. And so the general question she wants to ask is, what can the Akashic Record keepers, or Akashic Record masters, teachers, and loved ones, tell us about healing the heart of old wounds? Okay, so what can the masters, teachers, and loved ones tell us about healing the heart of old wounds? So I'm asking that question now, and in a moment I'm going to tell you exactly what I hear, what I see, or possibly feel. I don't interpret anything. I'm telling you exactly what comes forward. So the emotional heart of the human being is the central point. It's the they're calling it the crown central. Control panel, if you will. What many people believe is that we are controlled by our mind. But in reality, we are controlled by the energetic aspect of our heart. And the energetic aspect of our heart is what guides us and steers us. And for those of you who doubt that, your mind can tell you to do something, but if your heart's not in it, either you won't do it, you'll procrastinate, or you'll do a lousy job with it. Now, that's for the majority of people. There always are exceptions to the rule, but the reality is that unless our quote-unquote heart is in it, it's very hard to accomplish the goal that we want. Now, what's important to understand is that we hold on to old wounds because we have not educated our heart as to, actually, it's a different phraseology. We hold on to old wounds because our conscious mind has not aligned with our own divinity. And when we align with our own divinity, our own divine within us, that is connected to the divine that surrounds us energetically, when we connect with that, our life becomes in balance. We get balance with our life. Now, the assumption is that the mind, again, rules it, and it's actually the heart, because the heart has an intelligence that creates the emotion. And in human form, which is what we're dealing with here, that's what we have come to experience. And we've come to experience our heart and compassion and wisdom and understanding, our sadness, our frustration, our joy, our anger, all the emotions that create the richness of who we are as human beings is what we've come to this planet to experience. And so what we look at as wounds, old wounds of the heart, old situations that we had no control over, old situations where we wish we would have done things differently, and on and on and on. When we look at, quote-unquote, the wounds or the old wounds of the heart, when we look at them from a place of pain or wounding or we put a value judgment on it being good or bad, then we have now locked in and imprisoned our knowing of that. And when you have a situation that emotionally hurts you and you hold on to that emotional hurt, you begin to weave and create a story around that that will actually, in many cases, last the rest of your life. And so what is important for us to do is to look at the woundings of our heart and ask ourselves the truth of how that wounding helped us. What did that wounding allow us to do? What did that wounding prevent us from doing? And how is that wounding now still controlling our lives? And the questions that are the answers that come forward from those questions need to come from a deep place of truth within you. Because what the wounding is allowing you to do, what it is preventing for you from doing, and how it is affecting your life are important questions, because that the answers to those questions then give you the choices. Remember, we're on a free will choice planet. They will give you the freedom of the choices that you can choose about how you want that wounding to interact with your being. So if you're understanding what I'm saying, great. If you're not understanding what I'm saying, then you need to call in and ask questions about that. And the numbers to call are 530-413-4511 or 530-413-4515 or 413-4520 or 415-287-0074. So the questions that you and myself, we as a species, need to ask ourselves is, what are the old strings from the past that have a hold on us? And what can we do to cut those strings, to cut those cords? And how can we look upon our wounding from a point of healthiness so they no longer control us? That's an important piece. One of the things that's also important is to take a look at the different ways we are controlled by outside influences rather than our inner being and our inner knowing. We have to look at how and what ways our lives are influenced by not only experiences we've had and people that have come into our lives, but also how we're influenced by the masses or the advertising or someone's comment when we were very young. And so it's time to search back and see where those originate, those negative pieces or those fears or those beliefs have come from. So I encourage you to take the time to do your due diligence. So this afternoon, or this evening, rather, I would love to talk to someone, and I would love to get their opinions on this, so I'm hoping people call in. Last week was really interesting. People started calling in right at the end of the show, which is fine, and my producer was nice enough to let me go over, but don't wait to the last minute. If you have something you'd like to say, your comments and opinions are very important. So either email them at info@akashicwisdom.com or call me on the numbers that I gave. Clearly, the number is 530-413-4511, and it'll roll over to where it needs to be. So give a call tonight and get your questions answered. You know, it's interesting. I was reading this book that was actually published back in, let's see here, it was published in, I'm looking for the publication, All Rights Reserved Business. I can't find it. Wonder where it is. Okay, here, it's got to be here somewhere. It was copyrighted in 1969 and 1979. And one of the comments in it, it says, and this is a very interesting question. Have you ever contemplated a self beyond the self? And what this book provides is a look at what psychotherapy will be like after the year 2000. When the subconscious will be seen not only in terms of the previous incarnations of the psyche, but in terms of its pre-existence in other dimensions. Now, I want you to just listen, hear that again. When the subconscious will be seen not only in terms of the previous incarnation of the psyche, but in terms of its pre-existence in other dimensions. So now what we're talking about is not only universal mind, but we're talking about the fact that in many cases we all share a subconscious mind. Hello? Hello, caller. How are you?
Yes, hi. This is Anna. I was talking to you last week and then we got caught off.
Oh, yes. Did you end up hearing what I said because I came back on the air?
Yes, you did, and I did hear it. I just wanted to say thank you.
Oh, did it help?
Yes, it was very helpful, and tonight's topic is very interesting, and it kind of resonated with me, so I wanted to talk to you about it.
Okay, tell me. Talk to me.
So you were saying something about the heart and how we have these emotions, and when we allow that to stick with us, then, you know, it can stay with us for a while, or we can, like, and especially that stuff from the childhood, and this around my heart resonated, and I kind of wanted to, you know, be open to sharing that with you and seeing if you and I could see something around that heart area for me and what's holding me, if there's anything holding me back from...
You mean from a childhood point of view?
No, from now. I don't know, something from my heart that for intimate relationships that could be maybe something that I'm holding on to there that I'm not aware of.
Okay, so form the question that you want, Anna.
Yeah, I just formed it. Is there something in my heart that I'm holding on to that I'm not aware of? Something that I'm holding on to today that I'm not aware of, but that I can and need to let go?
That will open your heart to a loving relationship. Is that right?
Yes.
Is that what you're asking? What you're asking, what is blocking me from attracting and maintaining a healthy, loving relationship?
What's blocking my heart, yes, from finding an available person?
It's not available. You don't want somebody who's just available, do you?
No, I don't want just somebody that's available at all. It's not what I want. I want the guy that I am with right now, but he's just, I don't know when he's going to be able to be with me. I don't know.
What does that mean?
Well, it means there are certain obstacles that are there, and... And I'm always kind of like, stuff came up from the past, and I realized it was from the past, but I was able to let it go really fast, and I just don't know why I'm holding on to that. That was kind of the subject of what it is that I need to hold on to certain things and relive them, you know, and prevent love from coming in, block it.
Okay, but the person you're with right now.
Yeah.
All right. The person you're with right now, it's really important for you to understand is why can't you be with him?
No, I am with him, but it's just sometimes I get emotional, or my heart gets, or whatever, something in me gets really, really scared. It has to be a little bit of that, and it blows up in my head, and it becomes like a big fear of not being loved,
a fear of not being loved.
Yeah. And I want to know what that fear is from, because that's preventing me from being with men all the time. It's the only problem kind of standing in the way is like that the fear of not being loved and the fear of if I continue to hold on to these things, it's not going to be very helpful for me.
Right, but what I'm hearing though here is that just let me get this right, Anna. There is a fear of abandonment that you're holding on to, and the fear of abandonment is based on your lack of self-trust.
Okay.
That makes sense to you?
Well, I think the abandonment part, yes, I'm very familiar with. I've heard that many times. Lack of self-trust.
Right.
Yes, I agree. But that one, it would be wonderful if I could have more of the self-trust. That's kind of what it is, the self-trust part. I would like to know what to do to make that more. Self-trust feels like the unknown.
Okay.
And
go ahead.
No, I don't know what to do with that right now.
You don't know what to do with the idea of a lack of self-trust, you mean?
Yes. Sometimes, self-trust. That's difficult for me. I think sometimes when I'm going through stuff, I tend to run away from my inner being than trust my inner being.
You're afraid to be wrong, darling.
Yes.
Why I need other people to tell me. But that's gotten less. But I have had that problem where I had to other people. I still have the confirmation. I need confirmation from other people, other beings, other enlightened beings to confirm the truth.
It's more about them telling you that you're right rather than confirming anything.
Yes, but what is this? Why am I constantly this attachment to abandonment and is it ever going to go away?
Well, first of all, the abandonment issues actually began and were created in this life. All right, so this lifetime for you is about not only healing your heart, but it's also about really stepping into the fullness of who you are. And it also has to do with you creating boundaries that make you that you feel are safe for you.
Yes, that's, yeah.
Okay, so the idea here is that when you feel safe within yourself because you've put your boundaries up, not to keep people out, but to allow actually them in on your terms. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think I like that a lot. And
yeah.
It's something that I've been doing for a while. But even that is hard because then
The idea here is the idea of setting up boundaries and letting people in on your terms all it does is it takes you to a place of knowing what you're willing to do and what you're not willing to do, what you're willing to accept and what you're not willing to accept. And the idea of feeling lovable,
yeah,
or worthy of love has everything to do with that's really interesting. What they're saying is releasing the fears of being wrong.
Okay.
Now, the fears of the perfectionism has come from this lifetime, from when you were younger, and it was the idea is that you didn't want to be criticized,
mm-hmm,
and you didn't want someone to yell at you, or you didn't want someone you wanted to be accepted. That's the best way to explain it. That's what they're telling me. You wanted to be accepted, and if you could not be accepted, then you chose invisibility. Do you understand those words? Do you understand what was being said?
Oh, yeah, these words are all very true. It's exactly what I've been looking at, that I've done that all the time. And this part about perfectionism and being criticized, yeah, that was all in my past, my childhood and teenage years, and continued along in my 20s, and then my late 20s, I moved out and sought my own freedom, and this invisibility factor is huge.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of coming out. I'm kind of coming out now, but it's still, it's difficult, in this invisibility stuff.
Well, the invisibility is caused by the fear of being vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is it's actually an interesting kind of a cycle pattern, is that you want to be accepted, but your fear of not being accepted creates a lack of trust of self, that creates a fear of abandonment that moves you into invisibility because of a fear of vulnerability, and then it goes right back and it starts again.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see that?
No, this, I'm stuck here. That's what I.
Yeah.
That's what I'm. That's where I'm at, and it's like a triangle in my heart. That's where I'm stuck.
Right. Right. And so what we want you to do, okay, what the best thing for you to do is start, all right, so here's some activities that you can begin that will assist you in having concrete evidence that you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is you live so much in your head, you know, head being, there's so much going on mentally with you, but yet you so deeply desire to feel, and
yeah,
it seems like it's not connected. Does that make sense?
Well, I started to feel a lot more when this guy came into my life, where I'm so thankful for, and also the prior guy that came into my life. A lot more feelings came, which were much, much more negative than this one right now.
Can this guy now totally commit to you?
He wants to, yeah.
He wants to, and what about you?
I want to, yeah. I really want to be with this guy. I don't have to, like, I don't know about marriage, but I just want to be with him because I'm not so sure if I ever want to get married in my life. I don't know if I like that.
Okay, so are you guys living together now?
No, I don't live together like right now. We're just together. But it's like it's not like we're like stuck together. We're just giving each other the space that we need. It's not like
okay.
a very dependent relationship. It's
but really, he's not involved with anybody else, is he?
No.
Okay.
No,
he says
that I'm the only one that he wants to be with and he likes and feels attracted
okay.
to.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
So the action steps that they're suggesting is that first you have to make a list of the things you're proud of in your life.
Okay.
And that's important.
We have to think. Sorry.
That's okay.
No, I immediately have to think about my dog. I'm very proud of him. He's
okay.
A really proud dog.
Okay, but we're talking about things that you have done, you have created, or situations you've been in that you're proud of yourself the way you handled them.
Okay.
This is not about proud of things that you have. It's proud of you. How do you feel proud of you?
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
That's number one. And the next list or the next exercise is to then move into your meditation or your sacred space
mm-hmm.
and ask your higher being or inner guidance, how do I show myself I love me? And if you're stuck on that and you can't come up with anything, then the next question is, how could I show myself I love me? What action steps would I take or could I take? And notice it's not could, it's could or would. It's not should. Don't use the word should. But it's what action steps could I take to show myself I love me? That's a powerful, powerful question. And that question is for everybody who's listening in the audience.
Yes.
They need to answer that question this week. What action steps can I take or could I take to show myself I love me? Because until you create the steps that you believe will show you love yourself, there's nobody that can come around and tell you what to do. You need to create the steps that you will believe yourself when you do that. Is that making any sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. And as you're saying that, I'm just thinking of all the things that I've been doing that really showed action steps that I took to show. It's just, I think, like the last week I have on and off been doing the meditation part, and that just... when I do that, I feel always better. No, I don't see any, like, serious problem. I just felt like sometimes I create problems, the emotional body and the pain and the disbelief swirling around, and maybe that needed to be released. I was able to let go of it really fast. I was like, just be with it, and it was gone, you know, and I was able to pick myself back up. So I'm actually, but it's just really hard for me to just keep trusting myself. That's a big, there's just something, I don't know. Am I still with you?
I think we got cut off again.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened. Sometimes I hear, like, beeps. You're not pushing buttons, are you?
No, I wouldn't do that.
I know you wouldn't do it on purpose. Okay, but here we are again.
No, not on
okay,
purpose.
We're back. Okay.
Well,
so you were saying, okay, you were saying that as I was talking.
I'm saying I wish I could trust my higher self. I wish I could trust or be with my higher self a lot more. I wish I could hear that voice like 10 times louder than, I wish I could hear I think everybody wants that, not just me.
So sure.
It's not just about human things that I accomplished or did, or, you know, patting myself on the shoulder is very important, but I know all the answers I have inside, and it's living. It's really living that truth. Actually, that's what makes sense. It's living that truth that will get me.
But it's also about accepting the truth that's coming forward. And so part of the activity is starting to list those things so that you can start believing yourself. And when you start believing yourself, you start trusting yourself. And when you start trusting yourself, then things shift.
Right. And that's where the problem comes in. Like, I'll believe in it a few seconds, and then I might switch that and go into a fear-based thought. That's
then you have to ask yourself if that's true. Because when you get into a fear-based thought, okay, that's not you speaking.
Exactly.
Then you have to say, who is that? Whose voice am I hearing?
Yeah, the voice that always told me that nobody loves me.
Whose voice is that? I'm asking you now. Whose voice is that, Anna?
My sister told me that my family members didn't. Some of my family members didn't love me. That my parents didn't want me. That my parents want me to do this. What my parents want me to do that. And
how old were you when she told you this information?
All the time. She stopped finally when I told my father, "Is this true?" And finally, my father started to protect me. And this just finally stopped like a year ago. On and off, she would tell me things like this. It started very young.
Now, how long have you decided that you're going to allow her to control you? Do you have a time frame on this?
Well, no more. I'm not going to allow her.
Not true,
to
because she's still controlling you.
Yeah, especially lately, I'm having dreams about her, and she's really there.
Well, but the issue is with the question that's coming forward for you, is how long are you going to use this as an excuse not to be who you are?
I think I'm afraid of her. Something is afraid.
But the reality is you're an adult and she's an adult, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And where does she live?
She lives in Europe.
And where do you live?
Here in the States.
and you're afraid of what?
I'm just afraid of her jealousy, I think. I don't like her. Envious. I'm sorry to say that, but I don't like that energy.
But you don't have to like the energy, darling. It's nothing to like. The reality is that you're afraid that she's going to hurt you. That's a belief. That's your little kid inside that's afraid. That's not the adult of who you are. Look at that. That's the little kid that's afraid of the dark. And you need to really open your heart to that little girl and tell her that what she's believing or what she's feeling or hearing, you know, is just somebody's opinion. It has nothing to do with truth.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I have to protect what's mine. I have to protect it.
You don't have to protect it from anybody. She's not going to hurt you or take it away from you. She lives in Europe.
Yeah.
But the concept is that you're afraid of her is your little kid talking. It's not your adult.
Yeah, who kind of manipulated every stuff and manipulative. Yeah, okay. Well,
so you have to have a conversation with that little girl inside of you and let her know that you're there to protect her. And that she'll never let anybody hurt her again. Because you've made it this far. And the reality is your sister can't do anything to you.
No.
What can she do? Seriously, what can she do to you right now?
She can't physically hurt me. It's just like she just stuff that she said, you know, like about...
But why do you give her that power? You're the one that gives... For example, Anna, if she said to you, Anna, I hate your green hair. Why do you have green hair, Anna? Anna, your green hair looks stupid. What would you say to her?
Yeah, it's like, it's always like, what would I say to her? I'd say...
What would you say?
I don't know what you're talking about. I would say...
No. Stay with this. If she said to you, Anna, I hate your green hair, what would you say to her?
No, I would say I don't like that.
No, you'd say you're crazy. I don't have green hair. Do you have green hair?
No, I don't.
Oh, of course not. So what she's saying is not true.
What she's saying, yeah, is not true.
Exactly. So the concept of whatever she says, it's just like her saying to you, Anna, I hate your green hair.
Mm-hmm.
So every time she starts her thing, you've got to hear her saying that, talking about green hair, because what she says doesn't mean anything.
Well,
it's only her opinion.
Yeah, it was in the past. It was it didn't mean anything, and it wasn't even true. Some of it she just made up, and I'm like, oh my God, I didn't know she was doing that too. I'm just learning about her, and she just something different. I don't know.
No. Do you hear the story you're telling yourself? Listen to yourself. You're still blaming her. For her, her mind, she's not right in her mind, because she was mean to you. For her to make up things just to be cruel is not right.
No, she really did do some stuff that was threatening and just threatening me for certain things.
Do you feel that? But do you think that she has a? Is she sane? Do you think that's the way normal people act?
No, that's not how normal people are. They don't use or abuse certain things, you know. They don't do that.
Right. Why are you giving her that much power? Now, you're an adult. You see through her.
Yeah.
Why are you giving her power?
Well, because culturally we're supposed to respect our sisters, and so you just...
That's a story you're telling yourself. It has nothing to do with truth. How do you respect anybody who doesn't respect you?
Yeah, it's true. She probably doesn't respect me a lot. And
well, how could she respect you if she's treating you so unkindly?
Yeah. How could she treat me unkindly? That's just terrible. This is horrible.
So why are you giving
her? When our little brother started to abuse her or started to be really nasty, all of a sudden she finally started thinking, oh, I thought you were bad. She said to me, but this is 10 times worse than you. And I'm like, what is she talking about? I didn't do I mean, what the things that he did, I didn't even come close to doing. So
how old? Okay, so tell me the age you're speaking of that she said this.
She just said this like 6 months ago, and she.
What age was she referring to?
Like ages, like old, like 5 years and in 5 years range, 6 years range.
Five years and 6 years of age.
No, no, no. She just said this recently, like a year ago, when in her.
She referring to? What age group was she referring?
Well, between our relationship, I guess the past that we had, like 20s, teens, the past.
When she said to you, "I thought you were bad, but our brother was worse." What age group was she speaking of when she said that to you?
What do you mean age group? I just said...
How old was she? How was she saying? Did she mean when you were 10 years old, when you were 5 years old, when you were 6 years old?
No,
when you were
the time.
What she meant?
Our whole relationship, like the past 10 years.
Okay, but the point that's being trying to be made here, darling, is that it's your little kid that's talking about the fear... of this older sister. It's not your adult.
Empowering me. Mm-hmm. Empowering me and complaining to my parents about me. And then, it's a very old, it's a little child type of thing.
Right. So how long are you going to let your little kid rule you?
With this fear of gossip and fear. Well, yeah, I have to look at that inner child and... And say that I will protect it from people that are... not telling my truth.
Right. And the way you protect it is by telling your own truth whenever you can. See, what's really important here for you to look at is this no longer needs to be your issue. Because what she's saying isn't true.
Yep, it is.
And you need to discern what part is not true. Do you understand that?
Yeah, it's her opinion and not mine.
Right, it's not. It has nothing to do with truth.
No, it has nothing to do with truth. Truth is
right.
Yeah.
And so therefore, if in fact it has nothing to do with truth, then what you need to really look at, okay, is what is true.
Yeah, what is true?
Okay?
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Because this all plays into you not trusting yourself.
Yeah.
It's all connected.
Because when other people tell me, it's all connected. It's all connected. I just want to, to depend on other people making it right for me, and I can't make it right for me.
No, because they don't have that. Because that's what's been the issue all this time. You keep giving your power away to people.
Yeah.
They don't do the right thing by you. And then you blame them for you not feeling good about yourself, when in fact, you need to take responsibility for you.
Yeah, that's another part, I guess, that goes... Well, right now, I have to say I feel very vulnerable with all this.
I would imagine you would.
Vulnerable.
Sure, but the reality is if in fact... you do the work, you're going to feel very powerful. Because once you start telling yourself the truth about what's real, there's nobody that's going to tell you different. Because you'll know in your heart what's true. Do you understand that?
Yeah, I'm very smart. There's no problem with understanding or knowing that.
No. I don't mean do you understand the words. No. I when I say does that do you understand it? Does that mean that makes sense to you? Can you feel the truth of it in your body?
I feel that that's true. That's always been when I'm happiest. That's when I'm there. It's just that right now I feel just exposed and vulnerable just right now from this revelation.
So what would have to happen to make you feel safe right now?
Well, I don't want to be in this inner child place, and
what would make answer the question. What would make you feel safe right now?
Yeah, that's the problem. I don't know what that would be right now. Maybe just do some daily tasks or. And
what would have to happen to help you feel safe right now?
I guess I just would like to be accepted as I am.
And who doesn't accept you?
Touched.
Who doesn't accept you as you are?
Myself. I feel so vulnerable that I just think that that's not good, I guess, because I feel like everybody's strong and I feel I'm not strong. That's not even true, but right now that's how I feel. And
what is true?
In this place.
But what is true,
dear? The truth is I feel I feel like I have to be with accepting myself right now, exactly the way I am, without fear of judgment by others. That's my fear.
And so if somebody judged you, and they judged you, and what they were judging you wrong was not true, what would happen?
I would just sit with this feeling right now
No, if somebody were to judge you wrongly, what's the worst that would happen with that?
Self-criticism and self-rejection.
Why would you take their opinion as true? If somebody judged you inappropriately, why would you take their opinion about you over what you know to be true?
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? I don't have that strength or built enough in me.
What the master's teachers and loved ones are trying to show you is that whatever someone else thinks of you, nobody knows you better than you, darling. And what they have to say is only an opinion. It has nothing to do with truth of who you are. It's only opinions. It's like dandelions in the wind. It's meaningless. Their opinions mean nothing because you, only you, know the truth of who you are. And that's what you want to hold on to. That's what you want to create. That's why they were telling you to go ahead and create the list of what you're proud of. And they were about to say they want you to do one thing every day that's going to make you feel good about you. At least one thing, if not more. Because when you start moving into your own truth and doing things that make you feel good about you, you become stronger. And you start noticing the truth of who you truly are. but other people cannot hurt you, and other people's opinions mean nothing when it comes to the truth of who you are.
Well, thank you. I don't feel like I have any more to say. I feel like we just hit it right there.
Mm-hmm. So breathe, and you know what? It's okay to cry, because right now you are vulnerable. But you have everything to look forward to, and now is the time to really start looking at what, quote-unquote, your truth is.
Well, I don't feel vulnerable anymore. I feel like this is where I am. And,
good.
And I appreciate being closer to discovering, like, who I am. Yeah, something like that. I don't know. It's kind of... Yeah, I moved quickly over that.
Good.
I like being myself.
Yeah, I like and you know what? Myself. You should be very happy to be you. You're a wonderful being of light. You should be very proud of who you are. You have so much to offer.
Yeah.
Well, what?
I think if going through this process and allowing myself to be fearless of judgments of others and being myself, then that feels good.
Yeah, so what you want to remember is all about green hair.
Everybody,
it's all about green hair.
Yes. Oh, are we off the air now?
Not yet, no. But we've a few more minutes and I'm done. So the idea, but it's important. You understand how important the work that you and I did on this on the show tonight? Do you know how many people you've helped with this? Do you know how many folks out there that needed to hear what you and I were talking about tonight?
Well, I hope they're listening.
Well, I think they are, and the ones that were, it was important for them to listen, and the ones that didn't find it important didn't listen. And you know what? It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
They didn't have to listen.
Yeah, I would have been really. This is more helpful than any. You know, it would have been helpful to me if somebody else did this type of work. You know.
Yeah. And this is the kind of work that an Akashic Record consultation is all about. This is what happens in an hour and a half of work. It's about going through this.
Yeah, finding the little things. And now I have to do it for me.
Yeah.
All the time.
Well,
and
it's about exploring and allowing yourself to explore.
Yeah.
It's really about exploring the inner landscape of who you are and being in awe and loving every part of it. Because that's the idea of loving who you are is so important.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just been wonderful working with you, and I really hope that you found benefit.
Yeah, I found it beneficial, but I just feel like I feel a lot more vulnerable than most people, to be honest with you. I can feel other people not understanding me or thinking things or thinking I'm weird, and me trying to be me and being me. I'm not saying this in a weird way, but I feel sometimes just being real is very difficult to be in this world, to be real.
That's right,
it is.
It's very
difficult for people to see real. And
that's,
that's why I feel scared and vulnerable. But I am real, and I didn't feel judged by you or anything. I just felt a little extra vulnerable at some things, but
I don't want to be friends with people that I can't be real with, and that's
exactly
my opinion.
Right. And the thing is that the bottom line here, honey, is that you don't have to be, you don't have to be anything to anybody but who you are, because who you are is enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you know, anybody gives you a hard time about that, you tell them, come talk to me.
Yeah, definitely. I will. Thank you.
Yeah.
It was wonderful to talk to you.
All right, darling. Well, you know, keep working on it and keep in touch, okay?
Yeah, I'm listening to you, you know, on Sunday night, so I will definitely call back always. I will.
Okay. All right, darling. Okay.
Thank
you. Will you be well? You're welcome, Anna.
Too.
Okay.
Blessings
to you. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye. Bye. So, ladies and gentlemen out there, you were actually privy to a very, very special evening tonight. What Anna allowed us to do is help her with a consultation. Now, so you had firsthand experience now of listening to what an Akashic Record consultation is similar to. Naturally, every consultation is different because everybody has different questions. But the masters, teachers, and loved ones of the Akashic Records are here to help us feel more comfortable in our skin, are here to help us understand more about who we are here to help us with guidance on how we can feel more successful, more and stronger, and begin to investigate the areas of our life where we know that we need not only guidance but help, not from a critical point of view, but from a loving point of view. And we just have to stay with it. Well, you know, my time is up, folks. If you'd like to talk to me privately, you can call me on my private number of 216-691-1233, or you can email me at info@akashicwisdom.com. And I know that we didn't get a chance to answer some of the questions that came forward, but I would like to say that I will be addressing these questions, and I may not address them next week, but I'll address them the week after, okay? I would like to say I love you all, and we're going to close the records for this evening. So I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. And we ask all those listening, may your hearts be opened, and may your burdens be lifted, and may you truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And with that, we close the records by saying, amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed. Amen. Thank you, everyone. You're a blessing. I love doing this. Talk to you next week. Okay, bye-bye.